If you've ever felt that you don't belong, you are not alone. In this Charisma News interview, we share one woman's powerful story of finding faith and family through the foster care. Tori Hope Peterson shares how God brought her through the foster care system and is now being a beacon of light to help others. That story right after this short message. If you enjoyed listening to this story, read more stories on Spirit-led living when you subscribe to Charisma Magazine. Go to mycharismashop.com and enter in the promo code CPN to receive 10% off the price of a subscription. This is John Matarazzo for the Charisma News Podcast, and I have the pleasure of talking to Tori Hope Peterson. She has authored her memoir, it's called Fostered, One Woman's Powerful Story of Finding Faith and Family Through Foster Care. And she's joining us from the airport right now, so you might be hearing some noises in the background there. She was able to squeeze in this interview right as she is traveling to go speak at a powerful event. And Tori, it's great to be able to talk with you today on the Charisma News Podcast.
Well, thank you guys so much for having me. It's my pleasure to be here.
Yeah. So, Tori, when you think of the word foster, what comes to mind?
Well, obviously, the title of my book, Fostered. And I did that because I wanted kids who had experienced foster care to be able to, you know, they're walking in Barnes & Noble or they're walking in Walmart. And I felt like if they saw the word fostered, they'd be like, oh, I think that applies to me. Like, I'm in foster care. I had experience in the foster care system. I think when you're a kid in foster care, sometimes it feels like there's not a lot of people who can relate to you. The situation is unique. I think it's like 2% of kids in America have experienced the foster care system. And so I wanted to write a book really that reached kids, give them hope. In really hard circumstances, but I also, in the midst of it, have realized that I'm educating foster parents and caseworkers and people who want to get involved in foster care. So I guess when I think about, you know, the word foster, I really think about foster care and how we can make it better. And I hope that's what my book does.
Yeah, I know I've had the opportunity to work with a number of people that have been foster parents or have gone through the foster care system myself. And you hear horror stories, but you also hear wonderful stories as well. One of the movies actually that I watched a couple years ago with my parents actually was the movie called Instant Family. And that movie really highlights the ups and downs, but the beauty of foster care and just how you can instantly have a family. And yes, you're going to have things that people have to work through, but it's so worth it. For your experience in your own personal life, could you just share a bit of your story in that?
Yeah, well, I love Instant Family. Anyone who hasn't seen it should totally go watch it. And you know what I love about that movie is I can relate to it a lot. I had a track coach who came into my life after I moved throughout 12 different foster homes, 10 that second time that I went in. I emancipated the day I turned 18, and like 20% of youth in foster care, I was instantly homeless. But my track coach, he was my mentor, and he was kind of like this father figure that I'd always been wanting. And he just began to encourage me. And he was like, Tori, I think you can go on to the state track meet. Like, I think you can win it. And I was like, all right. Like, no one really said anything like that to me. But I was like, okay, I'm going to do what he says. And like, if it doesn't happen, I'm just going to blame him. Because this was like his crazy idea. And then that year, I went on to be a four-time state champion.
Wow.
And even before that, my track coach welcomed me into his family. And he's my dad to this day. He's who my kids call grandpa. He's the man who walked me down the aisle. And, you know, it didn't happen so much in an instant. As much as it happened over this amount of time where we built a friendship and a father-daughter relationship, but then suddenly, you know, in that instant, we realized, like, oh, we're a family.
Wow. And you just made mention that you went through 12 different foster homes during your life.
Yeah.
That had to be quite the journey. And could you talk about some of that transition? Because I think that's something that people don't understand what it's like to move from place to place as a child.
Yeah, well, when I moved from like home to home to home, I felt like I was trying to, you know, fit. I wanted to be accepted. I wanted to not have to move. And I did want a family. When I went to the foster care system the first time, I was 3 years old. And when, you know, when I went in, I didn't know that the dysfunction I was living in was anything bad. And I wanted to go back and live with my mom. But then the second time around, I didn't want to go into the foster care system. The abuse had gotten worse in the home that I was living in. And I just, you know, I was like, I want a family and I wanted to escape the abuse and just kind of the chaos. And so the second time around, I went in with my sister, but we were separated within a month. And I went on to live in a group home. And so really all those transitions were just very challenging. Like I just felt like I wasn't wanted. I felt like I didn't fit. Even, you know, the homes that I was like, I don't want to live here. It just felt like, okay, I'm never going to like have a place, have a family to call my own. But then I would try and kind of, I guess, make myself be accepted or make myself fit. And then it was kind of like, okay, once you kind of felt at home, you were on to the next one. And so it was, yeah, it was very, very challenging.
So talk about your faith during this time. How did you come to the Lord?
So, I mean, I didn't come to the Lord till I was 17, but I really see that he was there the whole time. When I went to my first group home, so there was a school on campus. And so that's like as far as we went was the school on campus. But I wanted to get out of the house. And so one of the ways that we could do that was going to church. So I went to church, you know, just to like get off the campus. But through that, I know that God was planting seeds and, pouring into me, even though I had never accepted him really, or wanted to live a life for him. The messages about forgiveness and about love and kindness, they really did have an impact on me because I was kind of a mean kid, you know, that hurt people hurt people. And that's not an excuse, but that's what I was doing. And I think it was during that time I understood that healed people help heal people. And I wanted to do that. I didn't know how. And then as I got older, I started to go to church again with a foster mom. And my 11th foster home, they're taking me to church. They proclaim the name of Jesus. But then they abused their kids behind closed doors. So that created a lot of confusion in me about who God was, because as I understood him, he was very compassionate. He was very kind. He was loving. He was welcoming. And he wouldn't put kids in danger. And then they were caught in their abuse. I moved to my next foster home and I had another foster mom who proclaimed the name of Jesus. And she took me to church every Sunday. And she was very loving and very sacrificial, changed her lifestyle to accommodate me. And I know people are like, well, that's what parents are supposed to do. But it felt like such an extravagant love, like a love that I hadn't experienced from foster parents before. And I was like, oh, this is like Jesus' love. And in through that, I was like experiencing healing in my heart and with my trauma. And then there was a community through the church that was pouring into me and encouraging me in my track career and in my education. And through that, I was just like, oh, like this is what it means to be loving. And I realized like, I was still like still a jerk, didn't want to be, but I was like, okay, if I don't want to be a jerk, like I need the healing love of Jesus to transform me. And so I accepted Christ into my life. I realized that really he was the father I was always looking for. He was the father that, you know, was filling those gaps, who loved me, who was protecting me. And I was like, okay, like heal me, transform me, because I want to be like you and I want to love people. I want to stop hurting people. I want to be a part of your healing. And I was just like, this life is yours and I'm your daughter.
Wow. So how did you notice that your life changed after that moment?
Well, you know, I think that you need accountability to change. That's why being in the church is such a beautiful thing. You know, there are a lot of people who are angry at the church and sometimes for very legitimate reasons, but we really can't escape the goodness of the church. We can't escape the accountability, being called out, being uplifted. And so I would say that first it started there. I think that I had a body that surrounded me, people who surrounded me who wanted to see transformation and wanted to see redemption in my life. And so they encouraged that. And with that like extra accountability, I actually ended up putting a YouTube video out. I was like in high school. And I just said, like, I know that I've been mean and I want to be nice. And I knew, like, when I went to school the next day that, like, there were thousands of people that saw that and they were either going to be like, this girl's a fake, or like, wow, she's actually trying to change. And so it kind of started there. And then there were always times where I kind of went in and out of, you know, just like that being a jerk and trying to be kind. And I think that came with, like, you know, healing and just continued healing, right? I don't know if I'll ever be healed. I'm definitely way less of a jerk. People who know me, when I tell them I was a bully in high school, they were like, are you kidding me? And that's always like, I'm like, wow, that's like the best reaction ever. Thank you. Because I was really mean. But I, you know, I always thought that I was going to like be healed someday. Like it was just going to happen. Like I was going to do enough therapy, or I was going to be in church enough. I was going to like, just like the Lord was going to transform me, and he has transformed me, but I don't know if I'll be fully healed until I'm eyes to eyes with Christ in heaven. And I think part of the healing is being content with that and not continuing to strive and letting God, you know, show his strength in my weakness.
That's a very good way to look at that. And I also think about, you know, we're supposed to work out our salvation in fear and trembling. You know, yes, we are saved by grace through faith, but then there is this continual process that we're going through to become more like Christ. And, you know, Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. And, you know, that's what you're doing. And I love the responses of people that are like, wow, you were a bully in high school? Like, that makes no sense to me. And that shows that there's a lot of change in your life and how real Jesus is to you. And that's a wonderful thing. And, you know, I want to talk about the next phase of your life, because you are now married and you have your own children and foster kids. And now you're speaking about foster care and advocating for some reform and some changes to improve it. How did you go from somebody that went through the system to now you are still in the system, but from the other side?
Yeah, well, Genesis, you know, 50:20, for what the enemy wanted to use to harm us, God will use for good, for the saving of many lives. That is just what I wanted God to do with my life. And I think that God can do that with all of our lives. We just have to say yes to him. And so, I mean, it's really just been continued yeses to the Lord. And, you know, there are some things that like I do and I try and it's not successful. But I think when you just do so many things, you know, you just try so many things and just say yes to the Lord so many times, he'll do something with it. And so about 4 years ago, I should say it was probably in 2016, I started a blog. Because I went on a missions trip and it was just a 10-day blog. Like it wasn't supposed to be anything long-term. Just wanted to share, every day that what I was in Ethiopia doing and what that experience is like, how God was working, you know, through the people there. And people were like, wow, you're like a really good writer. You should like write a book. And I was just like, okay, that's nice. Like people are probably just being nice to me because I'm like that foster kid and they feel bad for me. But then I would share my story here and there on social media and people would be like, this is like such good writing tour. You should write a book. And I was like, okay, maybe like people don't feel bad for me anymore. I'm like a 4-time state champion. I'm an All-American. Like there's no reason to feel bad for me. Maybe I should write a book. And you know, I was given some advocacy opportunities from different nonprofits, advocating for youth in foster care, doing policy change. And I think those are just seeds that continue to be planted. And I was like, oh, I'm like educating people. Like I didn't know people. I thought everybody knew about this. Like I know, you know, you grow up in foster care. You're like, oh, right. Everybody knows about this. But people, it was like foster care was so foreign to people. Even some of the people who were like knee deep in it, like foster parents, caseworkers, like none of them had just heard from the perspective of a former foster youth. And so I was like, maybe I should share my story and write a book. Started sending proposals to literary agents and they're like, huh, no, like nobody knows you. No one's going to buy your book. And I was like, okay, like I'm just going to use what I have and just continue on my blog and my social media. And then it just grew. It grew and grew and grew. And then people started calling it a ministry. And I was like, what? I'm just sharing my story. I'm just sharing what God has done in my life. And so it's so funny. I whenever people are like, how do you do what you do now? And I'm like, I don't really know. Like, it just kind of happened.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell me about whenever you and your husband decided to be foster parents and receiving that first foster child. What was that experience like for you?
Well, my husband had actually asked me if I wanted to be a foster parent when we were in college, like before we were even married. And I was like, no, Jacob, like the foster care system is so corrupt. You don't know anything about the foster care system. And he was like, oh, okay, then yeah, I guess we won't do it. Like he's a very sweet, content like guy. And then, you know, we got married and I was actually listening to a homeschool mom and she had homeschooled all of her children and she'd done an amazing job. Like all of her kids knew the Lord. She was like, now what do I do? And I was like, you should go teach in the public school system. Like those kids need you. Cause I had teachers who transformed my life and who mm-hmm. helped me a lot. So I was like, you need to go into the public school system and you just need to be a light, like salt. Light and salt. And she was like, oh no, the public school system is so bad. Like it's so corrupt. And it kind of like, you know, I kind of walked with that for a month and it made me mad. So I was like, you know, as Christians, we have the Holy Spirit that literally dwells within us. Mm-hmm. Like we have the power to step into the most broken places and bring healing to them. And I was like, you know, I'm very justice oriented. And so it just made me angry. And then I realized that I actually did the same thing, but I said it about foster care. And so I was like, okay, Lord, if we're meant to do this, make a way. And then I actually went to a conference and there was a guy who came in, like, you don't ever go to just a general leadership conference and someone explicitly talks about foster care. That is like, that just doesn't happen. And he like explicitly talked about foster care. And I was just like, okay, God, I'm just going to go put in an application. We're going to see what happens. So we went through the process. We have had four children in our home through the foster care system. Right now we have our sister, my sister, who I was separated from, now living with us. So oh, wow. We have kinship provision of her. And then we also adopted a young man. And now he is 20 and he's living in Dallas.
Wow. Wow. So you, so how old are you that you have basically you adopted a teenager whenever you adopted him, right?
Yes, yes. Me and my husband are 26 years old right now. So, and I remember like he asked us, he was like, will you adopt me? And I was like, the first thing I thought of was what people were gonna think. Mm. Like, what are people gonna think of us? Like, no one's gonna take this adoption seriously. But we really were his family. You know, mm-hmm. he lived with us, he does Christmas with us. You know, I know if he had kids, like we'd be grandma and grandpa, like mm-hmm. he doesn't have anybody else.
Wow.
And so I was just like, I remembered what my track coach did for me, really, you know, him taking me in. And there were a lot of people that actually judged him, you know, mm-hmm. that called him names and said he was doing things for the wrong reasons. And it was really hard, you mm-hmm. know, to go through that. Cause it was like one of the purest relationships I've ever had. And then, so to hear people say that, but to see him just continue to push through and be like, this is the right thing. And now to see how people view him as a man of integrity and great honor, you know, I was just like, okay, if people don't take us seriously, that's okay. Because mm-hmm. people didn't take him seriously. And mm-hmm. he changed my life.
Wow. So you're going literally to a conference right now to speak about advocacy and foster care and, you know, I'm sure you're going to be talking about reform, but I just want to bring up that, you know, the Bible talks about taking care of the widows and the orphans. In James 1:27, it says that pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. Now, I know you made mention earlier that the foster care system is corrupt, and that was your thought of that. You are advocating for change and ways to improve it. What are some of the things that's on your heart that you really want to see changed?
Well, you know, I think something that we can all do, there's this idea that, you know, we can be a voice for the voiceless, and that is so outdated. I do not think we should be doing that. You know, the voiceless have a voice. Mm-hmm. We just need to amplify it. We need to listen to them. We need to learn from kids who come from hard places. You know, there's always this idea of like the younger people need to listen to the older people. And I completely agree. They have so much wisdom, and that's also biblical. Mm-hmm. But I would also encourage people to listen to younger people. I'm 26, and I went to a worship night the other day, and there was a 17-year-old there, and he just spoke such encouragement over me. And I have a very strong conviction to listen mm-hmm. to people who are younger than me, and to not have pride over, you know, just because I'm older, I don't need to listen to you. And I was just so thankful because he really spoke into me. And so encouraging people to amplify the voices of kids who come from hard places. I think we have a lot to learn from them. And I'm not saying my voice, I'm saying their voice. Mm-hmm. My voice has been amplified enough, and I'm very thankful for that. But I would encourage people to do that. And then I'd also encourage something that we can all do is we can all see differently. You know, people look at the foster care system. We look at kids in foster care. There's a lot of negative stereotypes mm-hmm. that revolve the system and those kids. And that affects the way that we interact with them, right? And usually it will result in us staying away from them. Mm. But we need to see those kids and even their parents as people made in the image of God. They're image bearers. And I think if we see them like that, that will change the way we interact with the foster care system.
Absolutely. You know, I love earlier that you said that healed people heal people and hurt people hurt people. And now you're a part of that healing other people because you've been healed and you're going through that process continually. And now you're bringing other people along with you. I love the fact that you and your husband are opening your home like you have. What does your book talk more about your own personal story growing up in that? And does it include your story now and how you're on the other side of foster care?
Yeah, I'd say that it is both, but it really talks a lot about my experience in the foster care system, my mm-hmm. experience of living with my mom and processing the trauma and the abuse, and how I, you know, I tried to process through that in very negative, unhealthy ways, and then how I processed that and healed from that in the church and with the Lord, mm-hmm. with God's help and hand over my life, and kind of the difference that actually brings, the transformation of that. Yeah. And you know, there's a little bit of when I'm an adult, but I mm-hmm. don't know if I feel like I'm only 26, you know, like I said, and I don't know if something that I always say is when a lot of kids come to me and they say, how do I start sharing my story like you? And I say, start here. You know, share from a place of healing, do not share from a place of hurting. Mm. And in my adult life, I just want to be sure that I'm not sharing too soon of the things that have happened in my adult life. Like, I don't want to just share to create content. I really want to share in a way that is serving people. And so it really has more of the reflections of when I was younger and what that's taught me now.
That's a wonderful perspective. Share from a place of healing, and as you're serving the other people, mm-hmm. that is very wise, and I appreciate that perspective.
Oh, thank you.
You know, as you know, we are adopted into the family of God, mm-hmm. and how did that become something that's really personal and alive for you? Talk about that whole process of adoption into the family of God. Since you've gone through it in the natural, what's it like spiritually, and how do you make that connection to people?
Yeah, you know, one of my favorite songs says, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. And I love that song so much because for so long, I was just like, I don't belong, I don't belong, I don't belong. And now there are, you know, like a lot of us feel like we don't belong. It's just different. You know, it's not necessarily like we don't have a family, but a lot of us, you know, we have that person who won't text us back, or we have that friend who like doesn't really want to be as close to us as we'd like to be to them, or that family member who like we would really like to like us more than they do. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But what's so healing is that even if like people don't want you around them, people don't want you in their home, like God has built a room for you in a kingdom. Mm-hmm. And even if people are like, oh, I don't want to be your friend, I really don't want to be your close family member, you know, God says, you're a child of mine. Like, you are adopted, and that trumps like God's opinion of you trumps any man's opinion mm-hmm. of you. Mm-hmm. And so that is what has brought so much healing to me. And I think, you know, God is a God of justice, and he hates sin, but also like God is a father, and he's father to the fatherless. And he loves us greatly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, Tori, you are, your middle name is Hope. And I really feel like as we're talking here, you are being used by God to bring hope to people that are considering becoming foster parents, or maybe they've gone through the foster system themselves and they feel like there is no hope. Could you just pray for people that are kind of deciding what they, if God's tugging at their heart and they want to take those next steps to become a foster parent, could you just pray for them?
Yeah. Yes. I'd love to pray for them. God, I just pray for the people who are listening on here where you're just tugging at their heart. I would pray that you would give them the gift of discernment. You know, it would be really easy to say, just speak over them very clearly, but we know that as foster parents, we make 6 times the amount of decisions that parents who have solely biological children do. And so I ask that you give them the gift of discernment, and that they can understand where to step next. I pray that you lead them in a way that makes them feel safe, in a way that makes them feel secure, so that they can offer that safety and security to children, Lord. I pray that you would just have your hand over them, that they would know that they have the Holy Spirit that dwells in them, and that you are protecting them as they step into something that is scary. And I pray that even if they're scared, that they do it scared, that they know that in their weakness, in their fear, even in their shame, that your strength, that your love, that your light can shine through their actions and be a beacon and an inspiration to the next person who has the tug on their heart. We love you. We thank you for adopting us into the kingdom. And we pray that you make us a reflection of your adoption. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Tori, thank you so much for sharing that and praying for our audience. How can people reach out to you, connect to you on social media or online? How can they get your book, Fostered, One Woman's Powerful Story of Finding Faith and Family Through Foster Care? How can people find that?
Yeah, they can get it off Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, Target, wherever you like to purchase books. And you can find me at ToriHopePeterson.com or on Instagram or TikTok. And Peterson is S-E-N, not S-O-N.
All right. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Well, Tori, it has been a pleasure to hear your story and to just to be able to talk to you and just to hear your perspective. I've really appreciated that. And I just pray that you have a safe trip as you're going at the airport to speak at this conference coming up. And I just pray for you to have a safe trip as well. And thank you for being here on the Charisma News Podcast.
Well, thank you guys for hanging out with me in the airport today.
This has been John Matarazzo for the Charisma News Podcast. God bless you.